Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Christine Williams.
Yes, she is. She's awake. Okay. I'm leaving that long delay in. That's staying right there. Mm-hmm. Oh, and this is Fiber Talk, twice weekly podcast for people who play with needles and the people who love people who play with needles and the people who love the people who play with needles. Does that cover it?
I think so.
I think I have it. Yeah, I should write it down, but it's more fun to just fake it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Professionalism is just—it's stunning.
It's what I am—a professional. A professional. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
All right. Our guest this week, very excited, Lisa Crespo, who is. I forgot to test the name. Crespo, correct?
Crespo.
See, I did it right. Mm-hmm. I'm leaving that in too. So Lisa Crespo, president of the American Needlepoint Guild, is with us this week because the American Needlepoint Guild is making changes and we want to hear about it and learn about it and tell everybody else about what's going on. That organization, well, I tell you, if I read the tea leaves correctly, you guys are really moving.
Some big moves. Yeah.
And this very exciting for us. This is our first sponsored podcast. So this is pretty huge for Christine and me on many fronts.
We need sponsorship to be able to continue to do what we do. So
This costs real money. Yep, it really does. So this week's program is sponsored by the San Diego chapter of the American Needlepoint Guild, and the chapter more than 200 members in the U.S. and Canada. And guide their mission statement, educating and inspiring the art of needlepoint. And the chapter offers a variety of workshops and programs that are 100% distance stitcher friendly. You say that. Distance stitcher friendly. And members participate in a variety of community events to support the needle arts, including Makers Fair, county fairs, and open stitching events at local public libraries. That sounds like fun to me.
It does.
Yeah, monthly open stitching events held each month. So, yeah, I think so. In San Diego.
Mm-hmm. And distance stitcher friendly, which for me is pretty exciting because I don't have a whole lot going around near where I am, so that's pretty cool. So the chapter's upcoming line of 2018 long distance stitcher friendly workshops include in January, Mary Alice Sinton's Wild Child Japanese Embroidery Wallet. That pictures do not do justice. And we were just talking about Japanese embroidery, which someone was trying to lure me into, Arlene Cohen. It includes all the supplies to stitch and finish the project and is not to be missed. In March, Nancy Cucci of Huntington Beach will present Pacific Heart. And in May, a collaborative workshop with San Diego's sister EGA chapter, Muchas Manos, will be Margaret Bendig's Star Dance Design. So, for more information about any of the programs and about how to join the chapter, you can visit their website at sdang.org.
There we have it. Thank you, San Diego. Yes. Appreciate the sponsorship. So, Lisa, now, we have this bio here, and I'm not going to read all this. It's too impressive.
Thanks.
But Lisa is president of American Needlepoint Guild, but now your first statement here, Lisa, got to help. Lisa is a Key West conch. Now Christine and I know what conchs are.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never heard of anybody refer to themselves as a Key West conch. What is that?
That just means that somebody who's been born on that island, and that's what they call themselves.
So actually born on Key West.
Yes.
Good for you. I'm jealous. That's beautiful down there.
Oh, thanks. It is. It's lovely.
I just go by the pictures. I've never been there. So let's see. Your aunt gave you a stamped cross stitch piece. I remember those when you were 10. But then, your maternal grandmother is the problem because you inherited her stash.
And a small stash. That's correct.
She's the problem. Okay. Too late after that. So, several officer positions at local art and social service organizations, as well as A&G in your local chapter. That's Royal Palm. That's your local chapter?
Yes.
And nationally as treasurer and currently president.
Correct. Correct.
And you business administration degree, and you retired in 2007 after 20 years. I'm intensely jealous of that. And oh, and then before we go, we got to talk about accoutrement designs.
I was going to say, I retired from the financial industry. I didn't really retire from working.
Yeah, but making needle minders and other things is a whole lot different than 9 to 5. Yeah.
A lot less stressful.
Yes.
And
so,
more fun.
We got to talk about that. But let's so we don't waste time, let's talk about the American Needlepoint Guild. Now, just within the last month or so, you've moved the headquarters from Wisconsin to New Jersey, and I'm sure it's been in the works for a while here. The partnering with an association management firm. Talk about what's going on.
We were with an association management company for the last 12 years in Madison, Wisconsin. And the way we've been describing it is that we've graduating from high school and going to college. And they were fabulous, and they helped us get to a certain level, and now we want to move A&G to the next level and perpetuate it for our future generations. Not only A&G, but Needlepoint. So that was very important to us. Right now we are in the middle of our transition period, and the finances are starting to move over, and the website has already started that transition. The physical boxes of items will be coming soon, but we hope that transition will finish by the end of the year.
Now, for those who don't know, explain what role an association management firm plays for an association.
Association management companies handle the day-to-day operations of an organization like ours, and that includes the finances, the technology, marketing, event planning. And they handle, like, the day-to-day calls. We have over 6,000 members. You can't ask a volunteer to take those kind of phone calls. We also have – they do the mailing. They handle our membership database. They update and improve our technology on our website. And they're going to start a social media campaign for us. They do our event planning for seminar and for Encore. And they're able also to provide a resource for our members and volunteers. They're able to offer suggestions and help implement strategies and ideas to improve A&G and the future of our organization. They do the things that we can't ask volunteers to do because it would just be too much work.
Yeah, now in my magazine publishing paying job, I encounter association management firms all the time. And when you get a good one, they are difference makers for an association. They can really make an association fly. And when you get a bad one, it can be awful. But I've worked with some top flight ones, and they are absolute difference makers. And I'm confident that this one will be too. But yeah, you get it. Volunteers just can't do it at some point. It just gets to be too much. Yeah.
Well, and I'm also thinking too that, you know, being as this is their business, they will also help you grow.
Yes.
And take it to in different directions, right? Because one of the things that we've talked about and sort of the big struggle that everyone seems to mention is bringing the industry and bringing the hobby to people of another generation. And that seems like this is something that they could help with, right? By
Absolutely.
Bringing it to different venues and in different ways.
Exactly. For us, we have a small presence for social media, and it's just right now, it's just a Facebook. We did start Twitter, and we're going to start an Instagram page, and that will help with the younger generation. But it's not mm-hmm. so much attracting younger people, of course, is absolutely important. But for us as an organization, it's just letting people know what Needlepoint is and how it can help you. For me, I'm a very much of a type A person. So I was like, there's no way I can sit there and stitch. And it's very relaxing. But the most important part for me is the social part. I have met some of the most fabulous people and my closest friends through Needlepoint.
Talk about that youth. I've really become bothered lately with that whole concept and the whole problem of getting younger people involved in needlework, particularly needlepoint, but needlework in general. And there was somebody out on the West Coast who just announced the other day that they were closing their brick and mortar store because they were retiring and they were going to continue on with some online activity, but they were retiring. And, you know, it's happening all over the place. People just get to a point where they just want to retire. And you know, we all know that our hobby is getting older and older with every day. What is the view of the American Needlepoint Guild on developing younger people?
We think it's a great idea. We used to have on our previous website something that was outdated, and it was called Needlepoint for Kids. And Barbara Richardson, who's one of our past presidents, and she's been our seminar coordinator the last few years, she's going to do that as one of her focus of her next projects. And in our last seminar in Anaheim this year, we had an exhibit from the Needlepoint Millennials. They're on Facebook. Their math teacher, there was a write-up in Needlepoint Now recently. The math teacher, she learned how to needlepoint because her mother-in-law showed her, and some of her students saw what she was doing, and they wanted to learn how to do it. And so now that she has a needlepoint club, and I want to say there was like 60 or 70 mm-hmm. students, and we thought that was just such a great model. We would love to be able to use that and promote it so that either shops or chapters could be able to use that model to be able to have either high schools. At my local chapter, we teach Girl Scouts. But and there's a few that will go to the shop and learn, but there are different ideas for sure to be able to bring in a younger generation.
And that has to be a proactive effort, right? I mean, you almost have to force yourself on the situation to get noticed and to get involved.
Yes, the thing is the younger groups, you know, some of them for them, particularly like the high school students. Needle art can be an expensive hobby. Right now, like, the Needlepoint Millennials are working off of donations. So, and I think that's great. But because needle art can be so expensive, it's not always for the younger generation. Sometimes you just, like myself, you just plant the seed when they're younger. And then when they get older and or they go away to college, they need to find something that they can de-stress.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's because that's so many people's story, that they learned when they were children and then they picked it up again as adults. That seems to be the refrain of so many people that we talk to.
I know there was a study done by TNNA, that's the National Needle Arts Association, mm-hmm. and they said the average age is about 45.
It's that low, that young. Wow, that's terrific. Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say 60 or so. That's
no.
terrific. That's great. That Needlepoint Millennial program, that is, that's just an amazing thing. She's really doing a great job there. And yeah, you talk about they're working off donations. Boy, you see it in the Facebook groups, people wanting to send them stuff all the time. I think it's just fantastic.
So you'd mentioned earlier about one of the things that was most important to you is the social aspect and how Needlepoint has built your social structure and your group of friends. Can you talk a little bit about that and sort of the role of seminar and how that brings everything together?
Most definitely. Seminar is a group that gets together every single year, and I can't tell you how many people tell me I only go to seminar just to see my seminar friends because this is the only time of year I get to see them. Some people even Skype stitch after that, but most of them, that's the only time they ever get to see their friends. And some of them have had roommates where they went to their first seminar and they got their seminar roommate, and it's 20, 25 years later and it's still their seminar roommate. So instead of pen pals, now you have your needlepoint pal.
Oh, that's great. That's just great. Well, we talked to Debbie Rowley here not too long ago, and she really opened my eyes to what that seminar has to offer. I've never been to one. Neither of us has ever been to one. Because you there's such a focus on the classes, but in talking to Debbie, and maybe you can shed more light on it, there's so much more going on that classes are really, I think in some ways, just a portion, there's a lot going on at that thing.
Yes, what we're doing now is it's either a friend of ANG or a camaraderie fee. For Encore, we've been calling it camaraderie. But it's essentially you just pay the non-refundable registration fee so that can give you have the opportunity to be able to buy banquet tickets. But we have so many other things that are open to the public, like the exhibit, which is absolutely extraordinary. Some of the best examples of stitching that you will find is in our exhibit. There's also usually a needlepoint shop on the premises. We have a shopping extravaganza one night called Expo. Then there's a teacher showcase where the teachers show you the projects that they will be able to go to either a shop or to a chapter to be able to teach. We have chapters and officers meeting, and so that's just a group for the resources for the chapters to get together to talk about their successes and some help and ideas that they can put together there. We have a first-timers event, and the first-timers event is for those people who are attending first time at seminar, so they might come by themselves or they might be a little bit nervous. They don't know what all to expect. But I would say the crown jewels are the two banquets. We have a welcome banquet, and then we have a farewell banquet where the exhibit awards are given. And on the welcome banquet, it has the different awards. I want to say, it's terrible, but I don't know every aspect of A&G. I want to say there's probably 14, maybe 20 different ribbon awards given. And those are shown that very first night. The farewell banquet has a delegate's choice as well as the people's choice. So all the people who attend seminar as registrants get to vote on their favorite piece. But then the general public gets to come in and vote for their favorite piece. And in the last, I want to say at least the last two seminars, we've had more people come from the public and vote than we did from our delegates attending seminar. So it's really great.
Oh, that's fantastic. Hey, go back to that. I did not realize that the designers who are willing to teach classes, it sounded to me, did I get that right, that they display what classes, the projects that they're willing to teach? So basically chapters can go shopping for programs. Is that pretty much what happens?
It's not shopping for the kits themselves. It's
for the classes.
Projects. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So they get to see all the different projects that are available that this teacher is out into the public teaching. And they get to talk to the teacher one-on-one. And a lot of the teachers that are teaching that year are there, of course. But then there are also teachers who might not necessarily be teaching that year, who either live in the area or who just came to seminar to enjoy themselves too.
Or maybe new. That's a great idea, actually, for new teachers, to get some exposure.
Absolutely.
And for the shops to be able to see what they're going to get.
Exactly.
That's a fabulous idea.
An example of some of those projects, because ANG does distance learning as well, that's on our website. We have workshops by mail. We have cyber workshops, and then we have correspondence courses. And those are all our distance types of distance learning, as well as we have Stitch of the Month.
Yeah, that's one of the things I think a lot of people, I don't even know whether a lot of people know about it or not. But if you go poking around in that Stitch of the Month and some of those online classes, when you look at what am I going to stitch next, holy smokes, there's so much there. Just the Stitch of the Month programs from past years, you could keep yourself busy around the clock stitching those projects. Mm-hmm. And they're fun. There's a lot of them. I did last year's with the Fox chapter that I'm a member of. And, boy, that was just a great time. And some of the ladies in our group doing this year's Stitch of the Month, boy, I didn't start it. I got too many other things to stitch. But but what an impressive piece. I mean, those Stitch of the Months, those aren't just throwaway projects. Those are serious things. They're beautiful. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, that's one of the most popular things on our web, or one of the hits on our website is our Stitch of the Month program. And we have decided that it should be a member exclusive. So starting January of 2018, it's going to go behind a members only section. So if you're a member, you can access all of the projects whenever you want, or the stitches if you want to look them up for a reference. And then as a pitch to the public about A&G and our membership, we are going to take one project a year to be able to market that so that people can see what A&G is all about.
I wondered if we'd get to that point, because when I first noticed that anybody can go and see all of those projects and download all the charts and everything, I thought, wow, that's that should be hidden. Yeah, that should be a member benefit, because that alone is a powerful library of projects. That's really impressive stuff. So, yep. Okay, glad to hear it. So talk about the website. Speaking of the website, you just introduced the first phase, because I just got my password here the other day so I could get in and take a look and haven't had a chance. You talk about that's a big project, overhauling that website.
Oh my goodness, years in the making. this is our third attempt at trying to have the right web company and design. It takes a lot of effort amongst a lot of volunteers as well as vendors to be able to make this happen. Our phase one was for seminar, for sure, membership, distance learning, and donations. We had originally thought what we were going to do was put out seminar registration first, but then we realized if we did that, the member database wouldn't be in there, and we wanted seminar at this, since this year is going to be the first time that it's going to be first come, first serve. We wanted to make it as efficient and quick as possible. So we decided to bring out the website first before launching the seminar registration.
Well, sidetrack on that, since you brought it up. That's quite a change for registering for classes for seminar. What brought that about?
Cost. Not
Every time.
Yes. Well, for an association management company like what we were doing before with the lottery system, they did that. They had their own computer program, and it was essentially mostly a manual process. So, you know, when you get charged, it's whatever, the $100, $150 an hour, whatever it is, that adds up. So then we said, well, can't we have a custom website done? And they're like, well, this is a very antiquated way. Every programmer we talked to, they said, if you want to do it, cha-ching, like you're talking like $20,000, $50,000. And we're like, what? Mm-hmm. You know, and we knew that the membership, it wasn't fair for the membership to pay for it if the membership doesn't go to seminar. If we only have anywhere between 6-10% of our membership go to seminar every year, and then to put that cost onto those people, it was between an antiquated way of doing business financially, it just was not the right option.
Okay, so now this year it's first come, first serve, as opposed to the lottery thing.
Correct.
So what is it, when you release it, it's a rush to get registered? And
I'm going to say yes, and I've been told, you know, a lot of our members are concerned about the system crashing. However, the the website that we're using for that, they have assured us that we are not the only people who do these kind of registrations, and that they have some 60,000 people who attend their seminars that are 600 or so is probably not going to be a problem.
Oh, okay.
Because not all 600 would register on that first date within the first hour.
Okay. All right. And then, okay, it took you off on the tangent there. So then talk more about the website. What this phase one, you've got the seminar and
membership. So your membership, if you would have received your email, as Gary, as you would say, and your password, and you get to be able to go into your own member area and log in. And it has a place for you to update your information. It also has chapters that if you belong to certain more than one chapter or your own chapter, you can put that in there as well. You can upload pictures. You can contact fellow members. And particularly like if you met them at seminar and you're just like, oh, my gosh, who was it that, what was her name or what class was she in or I know her name, but now I need to find her. So it's a nice social area as well.
It's community.
Yes, absolutely.
That's great.
That's huge. That's big difference. That's, yeah.
It is.
Great. So what else is in phase one now?
Distance learning. And that is our cyber workshops, our correspondence courses, and workshop by mail. And there's three different ones. Cyber workshop is the class that is the project is sent to you, and it will work soon. as soon as you register, you'll be able to get the PDF immediately. Back in the day, which is right now, it's still, as of 2 hours ago, it was still where you had to print out the page and fill it out. It would go to a volunteer who would send the information out. So by the time that you paid for it through the association management company and the volunteer got notified and was able to send it out, it wasn't always even the same day. So it's pretty soon that'll be immediate. Correspondence courses is classes where you get to sign up for, and the project comes to you in the mail. And you're able to have that evaluated. And I believe there is a like a form where you get to a Yahoo group or a Facebook page. Honestly, okay. I haven't done it. I buy them, and they go in my stash.
Well, you know, I just want to say, too, we just did with one of the magazines I edit, we just did a complete new website. And it's hard for people to comprehend how difficult a website that requires the sophistication of ANG's site with all those different aspects, how difficult that is, one, to design and build, but then all of that seems to work great till you turn it loose on the public. And then that's the real acid test. And you know, when they're working well, it's terrific. But, when you say three different attempts to build a website, get the right people, that's not unusual. And these things take forever. And, you set a deadline. And I think the magazine one that we did, we just released it here about a week ago. And our original deadline was May. And it just took that long, and we're still working out little kinks and little problems here and there that show up because the public starts working with it and saying, wait, this doesn't make sense. And so, you know, I feel for you. It's a struggle. Yeah, it really is a challenge to do them and do them right.
We are there's a small group of us who are essentially we're just sitting here. We're trying to look for mistakes and poke holes. And
right.
Make silly errors so that hopefully it won't happen on the what we call the front end for the membership or the public, but it does happen.
Yeah, that's just reality. So what then? So that's phase one. So what's phase two then?
I would just say I would pretty much the rest of the
the rest of it.
Yes, exactly.
Everything else.
Right, but you know we have more things to do for events, but it's I was to say it's mostly what I would say is what we call the back end, where it's for chapters to be able to, the membership person to look up people, for us to be able to pull reports, you know, how many new members do we get this month, or how many people signed up for this class, the kind of things that our executive council need to look at and pull up.
So then the front end is really everything that the membership is going to encounter on a day-to-day basis, and phase two is kind of the business end of things.
I'd say more of it, yes.
Okay, all right.
And of course, we keep coming up with more and more ideas.
Of course.
Well, that's good. So now, you've got a whole new website. You've got the management company. What are you most excited about that you see as big changes coming in the next year, personally?
For the organization?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be the association management company finding out exactly who we are, what we're doing, to be able to help us streamline our processes, particularly, you know, the manual administration ones. Mm-hmm. More and more should be able to go onto the website to reduce volunteer time, so they're not spending, hundreds of hours volunteering that they can stitch, which most of us like to do and don't have the time to, as well as people will want to volunteer because it's not this 40-hour work week that you're expected to do as a volunteer, and that's just asking too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then I fully intend that it will be a campaign for a membership drive and more fun stuff and advancing not so much the organization, but Needlepoint.
That's the sense that I've gotten out of this is ANG's putting itself in a position, instead of keeping its head above water, a position to move forward and grow the hobby.
Yes, absolutely. I tell people all the time, and they think that I'm crazy, I want the American Needlepoint Guild to be what Royal School is in England. I want us to be for Needlepoint in the United States.
I think that's a goal.
Yeah, it is, but I think it's achievable.
That's great.
Because you make it something lofty, but I like the feel of that, because the Royal School has such, it's something that people recognize and admire. So even if you're not, a stitcher, you look at that and you say, oh, that I know what that is, and I admire the work that they do. So I like this idea that it's not only gathering more people to do stitchery, it's gathering recognition of what it is, and the value that it has. So that's an interesting perspective. I really like that.
Thanks. We believe that ANG isn't just, it's for everybody. We're all inclusive, whether you're a beginner or you're a hobbyist, an artist, a designer, shop owner, you know, anyone in the industry, advertisers, even just enthusiasts. And mm-hmm. I can't tell you, because I'm on the business side from the needle art industry, so many people I talk to have never even heard about the American Needlepoint Guild. And I'm
right.
Like, well, how could you be in Needlepoint and not know about ANG?
Well, see, so now Gary makes fun of me because we start the podcast for, you know, people who love needles and the people who love needles. But it really goes to this exact thing, is that it's not only about teaching people to stitch, but it's about teaching people to appreciate the art form that exists. Because, you know, we talked about, you know, a lot of people think of needlepoint and they think of, you know, the old, you know, mm-hmm. 1970s canvases that are dusty and smell funny because they've been in somebody's basement for 30 years. And they don't realize, you know, I talk to friends at work all the time and they, you know, they think, what is this thing you do? And then I show them a photo and they're like, that's crazy. I've never seen that before. So the idea of sharing this thing that no one has any idea exists as an art form in its current state, is that's exciting to me. It, it as not only just a teaching and as Gary was saying, forcing people, you know, you are going to become a stitcher, but just showing people, hey, this exists as an art form, you know. I really like that idea.
And Angie defines needlepoint officially as any counted or free stitchery worked by hand with a threaded needle on a readily countable ground. That's pretty lofty. I mean, that's a very wide range of, I mean, that's, it, I mean, it's cross stitch. I mean, it's counted needlepoint. It's painted to canvas. It's rosashi, silken metal. There's just so many different disciplines that it's all inclusive.
Yeah. Yeah. All of that. I want to do all of it. Can we do it all?
Yeah.
Yes. Christine, you're well on your way to doing all of it. You've been collecting.
I am. I know. I know. Gary's making fun of me because I get excited about everything. And I do, because then I, you know, something, everything is new, and then I say, I want to try that one. And then I do. Don't make fun of me, Gary.
I'm not. See, I'm supportive. I'm being supportive.
I'm here for you. It's a little snarky. You know what? Just because I'm actually using my stash, don't make fun of me.
Ooh. Ouch. Ouch. Right? Okay. All right. You want to play that game?
It's not just a pile of charts on my nightstand. These are actually pieces getting stitched.
Okay. Buckle up, lady. All right.
The gauntlet has been thrown.
All right. Buckle up. Yeah. All right. Fine. Lisa, another thing. Oh, man. I'll tell you. All right. Fine. I'll play the game.
This is when you can tell we've known each other for a little while.
I was going to say, I'm happy if I get to stitch a couple projects. Most of the projects that I do are currently for our auction, for the A&G auction. I don't get to stitch on my own very much. So my stash just keeps growing.
Well, that's part of it. Hey, yeah, talk about – I don't get the auction. No, I hear about it. I read about it. Haven't actually been there. Talk about that. How does that work? What is that?
We get many items donated from different people who, for some, their family doesn't know what to do with it after the person has passed. Some of them is people who just don't stitch anymore. It's either because of their sight or they're disabled and they can't do it any longer, or they've moved on to something else and they want to be able to pass it on. And then there are other people who their stash is just too much, so they want it to be able to go to good use. So we have an auction. Right now we've been doing 2 a year, online auctions. Since they benefit the organization as a whole, we want the public as well as all of our members to be able to see the items. Sometimes there's books. A lot of it is painted canvas. There are a few kits, some finished pieces as well. Sometimes there might be, like if a shop has closed and donated some of their threads, there might be, some threads available at seminar. If we do something like that, we might have a thread grab bag for $10 or $20. And it's just, you just grab a couple bags and you get what's inside.
That sounds fun. Cause the auction, people who are not at the seminar can do it through the silent online thing, right?
Yes, online, correct.
Yes.
Okay. That does sound like fun.
I get it now. Okay. I can play. Okay.
Yes, you can.
And it is a good way for, like you said, for people who are younger or have, you know, are just getting into the hobby, or, you know, I was that person, you know, who didn't have a lot of means getting into the hobby when we were doing aquariums back in the day. And I did exactly that at auctions and picking up other people's used things that, you know, they were offloading, getting out of the hobby. So this is a great way for people to get into the hobby from someone who is no longer doing it.
Yes, there are some great pieces. I will tell you, there are some bidding wars for maybe some popular older pieces.
Yeah, perhaps.
Yes, and then there are other ones that, you know, that nobody bid on, and they are great bargains to be had, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Encore program, that's You just started that in this past year, right? That seems to...
It was 2016. We had our first one in March in Denver, Colorado. We've had two this year. The first one was Atlanta in March, and now we're getting ready to have our second one this at the end of this month in Hershey. What they are, seminar-level classes that are being offered
Wait a minute. You're going to have classes in Hershey, Pennsylvania?
Yes, we are.
Oh, chocolate and stitching. There's a...
Yes. And one of the canvases is Chocolate by Nancy Cucci.
There we go. okay.
Sounds like a terrible event.
Oh, I tell you, that's just dangerous on several fronts.
Tony Gerdes' Fire and Ice is one of the other classes, and Janet Casey Ziegler's Holiday Train is the other one.
And so the Fire and Ice piece is beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was,
it really is.
So those are weekend events?
Yes, they are seminar level classes that we're taking around the country. So it'd be similar as a chapter does, but we're trying to go to places that are either hubs or that maybe a chapter doesn't offer those kind of programs, or there is no chapter or shop, so that people have the opportunity to take seminar level classes without the all the extras that come with seminar. We're calling this a no frills event because there aren't there's no shopping event, no expo, there's no shop, there's no exhibit. We do usually include at least one lunch. Sometimes, like with Hershey, there's not a whole lot to go, so we included three lunches. And it's just meant for us to sit and stitch a project or take one of the classes. There are a few people who just want to come and hang out for the camaraderie and social aspect, so they bring their own project, and we have a room for them too. And, you know, in the evenings, we usually either commandeer an area of the hotel or we have a separate room. And it's just like our hospitality suite, and some people stitch, some people just socialize. Of course, there's usually wine involved.
Of course.
Sounds pretty magical.
Talking about places where there's no shop, no people, no organizations, you might look at Long Island as the next one. Christine will show up.
Okay. Yeah, I'll show up. Yeah, so we have a chapter. There is a chapter here. But yeah, there is. And of course, I missed the meeting this month because I had other obligations. But we do have a chapter here, so I'm very excited about that. But shops are sparse. We have one shop, and I've determined that it's open for 4 minutes on a Thursday, and a half an hour alternate Saturdays. So I haven't been able to make it there yet. and I have to go because I have a piece that I need to get framed, and it's pretty much the only place I've found that's going to be able to do framing for me. So I really need to get down there, but they're only open during business hours, so it's tough for me to get there because I have a job.
Work.
So
yeah.
Yeah. So but I do have to make a pilgrimage because I need to get a piece framed by a framer that knows how to do, you know,
needlework.
Needlepoint. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
well, our next encore event is in Houston next spring. I want to say it's April 7th and 8th. And one of the reasons why we picked Houston is because that is a needlepoint mecca. You know, they have like, it's like at least five or six shops, like within probably a 10 or 20 mile range.
Oh boy.
See, and that would be fun then, because you go
right
to the, you go to the event and then you just do a shop tour.
Exactly. And we did that when we were in Atlanta. There were two shops there, and they each hosted us and had specials and prizes. And one was with near the hotel, so the courtesy van took you there, free round trip. And the other one was a real easy Uber ride, and she had a after-hours event just for us with a great food and wine spread. It was awesome.
That sounds great.
Ooh, got to look into those encore things. That sounds like
mm-hmm.
fun.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Needlepointers Magazine, that's gotten an overhaul too.
Yes, and that's where we started. We started there because that was one of the first contracts that was coming due. It was also, budget-wise, the smartest thing for us to do. Most of the,
So you have, would you have a new organization doing that for you? How, what happened there?
We sent out for requests for proposals, RFPs, and we received several back, and we did an analysis, the board did, working with the editor and one of the other committee members. And we looked at the different things that were available, and we decided we wanted to do self-editing, self-publishing. And that made a difference. In the previous magazine, they owned the rights to the layout, so we were going to have to change the layout. And a whole host of things, you know, best laid plans don't work.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
When we signed the contract, and I was going to say probably on 8 or 9 month period, we had a couple floods. There was a tornado. Unbeknownst to us, they had organizational changes within the company. So we ended up a lot of turnover, illnesses on our volunteers side as well as the publisher side or the printing company side. And it was like if anything could go wrong, it did. So since they weren't able to keep up with what we had of our expectations of what the contract is, that made it a breach. So we were able to negotiate, that part out, and we hired our subcontracted a graphic designer. And because the magazines work so far in advance, it just takes a little while. So even though we had made already a bunch of these changes, it took 6 months for you to be able to see it when the magazine come out. But we were able to stay with the same weight and same quality paper. We are now polybagging, which was something that the membership had been asking for many, many years. And we think it's we've been calling it the pink issue for the breast cancer awareness. That to me was one of the best ones so far. So I see improvements every single month, and I am extremely proud. That committee and the internet committee are just fabulous. They have worked tirelessly.
Yeah, and those are the two toughest things right there. They're the visible part. That's the interaction visible part, and so they have to be right. Yeah. Are there plans, future plans for the magazine in terms of its content or direction? Or is that pretty well, is this most recent issue just an excellent example of where it's going to be?
I want to say things will be changing, but probably not for another year. We have a transition not only for the association management company, but a transition for the editor as well. So I think they need to get everything up to speed, and then they'll start making some changes. What we want is the face of ANG, everything to be interactive and a little bit more cohesive between the message that we're sending out, the website, the magazine, our social media. We want everything to be, flow within one another and just to promote needlepoint.
Well, I'll tell you, this is I'm pretty excited for the organization. It really sounds like things are moving. Everything is moving in a progressive and forward direction. I think it's great.
Thank you so much. It's been a labor of love for sure, and definitely a legacy for myself. But I have been working with absolutely the best group and team of any team that I have ever worked with. It's been with the volunteers and vendors that I've been doing with ANG. I jumped off the deep end, and they were right behind me, so it was great.
Oh, that's fun. So you mentioned that you don't get to stitch much these days. When you do get to stitch, what are you stitching?
I'm pretty much mostly a painted canvas person. Silk and metal is my favorite, and I hardly do any of that. I have a Christmas tree skirt by Melissa Shirley I've been stitching on with my friends. You know, one person had it, so we all had to have it, and nobody's finished it yet. the other is I'm going to be an auntie soon. So I got a from the auction. It was a little pudgy Santa. I want to say it was from, I think it's TJ Designs. It's from the collection. So I'm stitching that Santa up so that he can be something soft for the baby to either hug or just put a pocket so that they can put a note or, you know, money or anything like that from year to year.
So a few things going. The skirt sounds like the stocking I did for my son that took me almost 30 years. Yeah.
I have one of those.
Yes.
I think we all have one of those.
Everybody has one. Just many are not willing to admit it, I think, is what the problem is. Yes. And then you have a business. Now I'm curious about this, because Accoutrement Designs, and I tried to find all the things that you make, and I found a ton of needle minders. Is that that the primary product?
It is the primary product. It's funny. That, of course, is a story. I started making sterling silver and Swarovski crystal fobs for my friends to match, you know, our projects and the holidays. And then I was looking for a magnet to match. We were going to Washington, D.C. for the Cherry Blossom Festival and go up to Bedecked and Bedazzled. And I couldn't find anything that would match for what we were doing. So I made my own, and Rouge Muff was like, oh my gosh, these are fantastic. You've got to make me some to sell at the store. My friends have been telling me for years, you've got to sell them. I'm like, who's going to buy this stuff? And they're like, no, you got to do it. So by the end of the weekend, you know, us stitchers, you know, put a bunch of business professional women together. We had a business plan by the end of the weekend. And I went home and it went and blossomed from there. So needle minders and high-end sterling silver scissor fobs or project bag fobs are the main products. And the newest thing is cases. I do needle cases and beading cases. And the beading cases have a silicone bead mat inside that doesn't leave any residue on your crystals, and a magnet to hold your needles. And then the scissor case, the needle scissor case has two magnets on the inside so that way you can hold all your needles, and it can store a small pair of scissors as well to protect those points. And then they match the magnets too. And some have sayings.
Well, of course they match the magnets. Why? Of course they do. Wow, that's quite a thing, and it all just started out of an idea. That's really great.
Yeah. We have something for every mood, project, or holiday.
and people get these all through their local needlework store.
That is correct. I'm a wholesaler only, so you have to go to your local or favorite needlepoint shop.
So how where's the manufacturing in your kitchen?
I have a sweatshop of a room, and then that's graduated to the dining room table, and then it goes to the kitchen. It's funny, my accountant says, take pictures all the time of you spread out everywhere. It's like, okay, I do.
This is my factory.
Yes.
And I sleep here, too.
Yes. Jeez. And I do have help.
Oh, okay. That was my next question is, are you doing this all your own, or?
I was at first, but then it became too much. And then when I got onto the board of A&G, there was just absolutely positively no way. So, of course, my friends help me out whenever I go to a show, and Mom is always there.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
It actually sounds like fun, though.
It is fun. You know, everything is glitzy and sparkly. And when you're talking to people, you know, people, it's like, oh, my gosh, I love these. Or, you know, the shop owner says, these are just great. You know, all of my clients love them. And it's just, it's a happy business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you really have a kind of a design theme. Everything does have sparkles and they're not diamonds, but all kinds of crystals and things. Everything's encrusted with something. It's really neat.
We make enamel ones too, and we have small ones and big ones. So it's really for whatever the stitcher likes to have. There's people who like big ones, and then there are people who like small ones. And we wear them as pins as well. So especially the holiday ones, those work great.
No.
They don't put holes in your clothes.
Multiple uses.
Absolutely.
It's just all happy pieces, you know?
Yep. All right, Lisa. This has been fun. Thanks for doing this with us.
Oh, are you kidding me? Thank you so much. And I just want to give a plug and a shout out to the San Diego chapter of ANG who sponsored this evening. That was a lovely surprise, and they are an extremely active chapter within ANG, and they're just a great group.
Well, we sure appreciate their sponsorship. And sdang.org is their website, and you can sign up there for their workshops. And what is it that they're distance learner friendly, 100%. So yes, we really appreciate that, and sounds like a great chapter. And now I got to find an excuse to get to San Diego to just happen to be there a week where they have a meeting. I think that has to happen. Yes. So. All right, that's it. Thanks to Lisa, and thanks to everyone for listening. Yes, who is listening?
Take care.
Thanks to everyone for listening. Take care. We'll be back Wednesday.